Well, hello, everybody. I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. We don't do these live as much anymore because a lot of our guests can't be here at the right time and that kind of thing. So I got to tell you, it's really fun to be here and be doing this live with you guys, because then when mistakes happen, you can't do anything about it. And I always liked live television when I was in the TV business. I loved being live all the time. So that was the fun part. So anyway, we're going to thank our sponsors. Tonight, we got a great show for you. Recently, I was reading an article and listening to a podcast, and they were talking about we as Americans and just as humans have too much FaceTime and not enough FaceTime. And this couple wrote me recently from a rural town in Oregon called Sublimity, and said they had started this group and it relates to all of this. And I thought, gosh, I got to have them on and just talk about this, because I think this could be helpful for not only me, but a lot of people that are out there. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we want to thank, first of all, Dr. Michael Kaplan at Chris Dental Family Dentistry, where everyone is welcome, where your civil liberties matter. He wants you to be outspoken and speak up for what you believe in, and he'll take care of your dental needs at the same time. That's Dr. Michael Bratlin. Also here in Helena, Montana. Montana Oral Surgeons and Dental Implant Center. Amazing people. They have operations in Butte, in Bozeman, in Great Falls, and in Helena. And if I know you're not always looking for an oral surgeon, but when you need one, you want to know where they are. And here's one of my personal favorites, also. Albert Taylor, Endless Possibilities, working with people that we used to say were disabled, but figured out that they actually just have different abilities. Always looking for staff, people to work with their staff. It's a hard job, I'll tell you that. We're always really honest with people. It's a really tough job. But you know what? A lot of people have careers and jobs that they just don't like. And this is something that you will work your butt off. But when you go home, you will know you made a difference in someone's life. And isn't that what we're all looking for, is to make a difference in somebody else's life? And Greg Hinkle with Fairway Independent Mortgage Company. He's right here in Helena, but he's actually from Oregon and Washington. But we found each other here in Helena, Montana. And he does mortgage brokering, working with my kid right now who's looking to buy a house. He knows the rules. If you're moving from Montana or Oregon or Washington, there's these little stupid rules that go on because our legislators make up rules. They have to keep themselves busy. But anyway, he knows how to get through those rules. And also, New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center, Matt McCarl. You get hyperbarics. They also do light therapy. They're doing a new brain scan over there, and we're going to be having some videos on our shows about that. All kinds of stuff. Matt's a great guy. Go in there, tell him. He'll give you a deal if it's your first time with Rick Dancer. And our last sponsor for tonight, Rains Heating and Air Conditioning out of Cottage Grove. Bradley and his wife love what we do. They called us up. This is the nice way to get a sponsor. Somebody to call up and say, we want to sponsor what you do because we like that you talk about hard things and we want people to be able to have those kind of discussions. So that's my perfect client. So if you guys want more information about how to sponsor us, go to rickdancer.com. Send me an email where you can call me, and my email's it's everywhere. All you got to do is Google me and you'll find me. There's people that'll do that. Okay, let's get right to our topic. So we're going to give you a little slice of hope. And that is brought to you by Paul and Janelle. I'm stealing your name.
Yeah, so it's all right.
So thanks for having us. You wrote me. You're the one who saw something I wrote about being back in Oregon, and you wrote me. And what was your motivation? What were you thinking?
Well, you know, I just wanted to kind of share kind of what my wife and I have started here at our home, and maybe just have it communicate it to everybody and see what people think.
you lived in West Salem for a while, and then Janelle, you got a job. You're a teacher there in Sublimity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you decided to take a chance, start over, move your kids, and go to a tiny town.
Yeah, well, in a nutshell, it wasn't in a nutshell. Well, it wasn't really what I wanted. That's the cool thing about walking with the Lord, because if you ask him to lead your life and you mean it, he will. And really, it's been the most incredible adventure and awesome opportunity to be at this school and in this neighborhood because we said yes to the Lord.
So how long have you been there in Sublimity?
3.5 years.
Yeah. And Sublimity, for people that don't know, it's how far is it from Salem? So Salem's a pretty good sized town, maybe the third. Eugene and Salem always kind of fight back and forth to be number two. 1 year Salem is, and then Eugene, it kind of, and it's just population. But so it's a pretty large town for Oregon.
Sublimity is about 20 minutes east of Salem.
15, 20
minutes. And it's about 3,100 people here. It's a nice community. And like Janelle said, we moved here 3.5 years ago and absolutely love it.
So was it hard to meet people when you first went there?
Well, we came in fall of 2020. So I think you could probably answer that question.
For those of you who are outside of Oregon, Oregon was still in pretty much a lockdown mode at that. They stayed in lockdown mode for a long time. That's why I'm in Montana. But it was pretty crazy. So you move into a town during the COVID pandemic, and you're going to meet people.
Well, that was our hope and our desire. We moved from a small house in West Salem to this rather nice size house here in Sublimity. And I always wanted to house groups of women, people, families, but in our home in West Salem was just too small. So we had this big open space and I said, we have the opportunity now to actually house people and invite people, because I've always wanted to do that. One of my gifts is hospitality. And I thought, well, how can we do that? I want to do that here. And we just waited and waited until the right opportunity, and God made it very clear.
So what did you do? So tell people about Slice of Hope.
Well, we were here for a year and I kept asking the Lord, you made it possible for us to live here. This is house of our dreams. We never thought we could ever imagine a house. So, and he gives us abundantly more than we ever could ask, think, or imagine. So we knew it was from him. And so, it was actually 3 days after my dad passed, fall of 2021. And, I had this just very detailed dream of the Lord giving me the title Slice of Hope. And he said, the way you're going to reach the neighborhood is you're going to hand make pies the day before and invite the entire neighborhood to come over to have pie and coffee. And that's how you're going to get to know people. I'm like, okay. Well, I've never really made pie. And wow, how do we invite people? And so my daughter and I, and so that was November. In January, she and I made little flyers and we walked house to house to the 75 houses that are behind us.
Yeah, just in our local neighborhood.
Yeah. Right? Yes. And so we knocked on every single door and gave them a little flyer and said, this is what we're doing. And so many people were so thankful, saying, oh my goodness, I'm so glad somebody's doing that. We used to do that this many years ago. We used to do that. Thank you so much for being willing to house people and open up your house, because we missed it. And like, well, hopefully you can come. Yeah. So that's kind of how it started.
So how many came the first time?
Gosh, let's see.
Well, each month is a little bit different depending on where people are at. But I'd say that the most was maybe 30. It's between 2 and 5 o'clock. And so they come and go. A lot of people actually stay the whole time because they just want the relationships and the friendships and the networking. And it's so neat to stand back and see groups of people talking and sharing their stories. And
yeah, the first time, I think it was at least 10 people, right? And it opened a great opportunity to network and to just visit with everybody, meet other people in the neighborhood. And we thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And I get to eat my wife's pie at the same time. like I said, she hadn't had much experience baking pies, but man, she got right into it, you know? And we make about four or five pies, right? And people come. And we just open our doors, like whoever wants to come, that's great. And just welcome them with love and open arms and a way to just communicate and get to know each other, right? And so it's gone phenomenally well. So like the next time we had, instead of like 10 people, we had about 15, next 20. And Janelle said like probably 30 people at one time. And it was fantastic. And as, so we've been doing this, this is our fourth year?
Our third year.
Third year.
Third year for 3 years, you do this every month. So once a month, is it on a Sunday or something?
Yes. It's January through May, because we know people are busy in the summer. So we thought, well, let's just do it in the months that everyone's all shut in the cold here in Oregon. And so people can come out and enjoy people.
Yeah.
So what have you noticed about your relationship with your neighbors since doing this?
Oh, it's improved. I mean, it's this is the kind of neighborhood where you drive around and everybody waves at everybody, you know? And we have a dog, and I walk our dog everywhere around the neighborhood. And certain chances or opportunities come about, I'll invite them to Slice of Hope, you know? And sure enough, they'll show up. So it's improved, like, just the sense of community, the sense of unity around the neighborhood, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's more comfortable when everybody gets to know each other a little better, right? So there's a little more openness, more approach to people, you know, because, hey, I saw you at Slice of Hope. Well, what are you doing today? You know, and strike up more conversation, you know, and we're like, why don't you invite your friends, you know? And gosh, so we have a friend in the neighborhood that came. He's a great guy. He's one of those guys in the neighborhood. Oh, everybody knows him. And so he spreads the word, like word of mouth just explodes. He goes to the we have a great pizza place in town. And sure enough, he invites all these people to come, and they come, you know. And
the sheriff.
Yeah, the sheriff comes over and hangs out. And see, one time we had a guy knock on our door, and he said he drove by and saw our sign and wanted to show up.
All the way across town.
Yeah, he was all the way across town. We're like, great, come on over.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is kind of cool. I should start something like this in my neighborhood.
Yes, do
I'm
it.
Like, that's exactly what we want.
Yeah, spread the word.
So you have how many kids?
Two kids.
And they're under 12?
12 and 9. Henry's 12 and Daisy's 9.
So what do you think this has taught them?
Well, that's a good question.
That's a great question.
Well, it's a team effort. The weekend before, we all take extra care to slick up the house and clean and dust and vacuum. My daughter likes to help me sometimes make the pie. And Paul and Henry work out in the yard to make it look nice. So we take pride in making our home a place where people can come and feel not only just welcome, but also aesthetically nice, and where maybe they might not come from a home that is or part of the neighborhood that's not as nice. And so they can come and they can just be in a place of peace and just relax and rest. And I think the kids, not always kids come, but sometimes kids do. And
yeah, sometimes the neighborhood kids come and they play.
Yeah.
But I think it gives our kids a bit of more of a confidence that it's okay to meet people, to meet new people.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, there is there's stranger danger out there, but when they see us welcoming people in our home, you know, and how we approach them, I think it gives them a sense of learning of, well, how can we approach people as well, you know, and not to be afraid to talk to others, you know, and have that confidence. So I hope that's really giving them that confidence.
I think it too, and in a world where, you know, we see the lack of relationship and conversations, you know, we can't even talk with our family members about religion or politics or anything, to see kids, you know, to see your parents, you know, bringing strangers into your house has got to, I mean, that's where the change happens. You know what I mean? Because I mean, when I was a kid, you know, we'd always have grandparents and neighbors and people like that. You knew all your neighbors, and they'd tell on, I mean, when my parents would leave and I'd have a party, my neighbors would go and tell my mom and dad. I mean, you were responsible for that, and we've lost that. And I know to some people they're going to go, oh, well, you know, but I think that's how you rebuild things. Simplicity is where things begin. You know what I mean? And we want to make it too complex, but you've made it, you know, it boils down to it's dough, fruit, a little bit of sugar, and
a lot of love.
Yeah, a lot of love, you know. I mean, that's certainly, especially after the pandemic and whatnot, a lot of people were more in their homes, and we just want to try to fix that in their neighborhood and welcome anybody that comes by and just enjoy each other's company. Yeah. You know,
are you guys known as the pie people?
I don't know yet.
I don't know about that yet, but I would say that we're the house that has the yellow sign in the yard that says slice of hope. Oh yeah, I've seen that sign. Or yeah, we've driven by that. So people are starting to recognize our house as the white house with the yellow sign in the yard.
So your dream would be that every neighborhood in your town had a little slice of pie and had their own. I mean, more people to start doing this, not just you guys, but other people. And then if you got going in a little place like Sublimity, could you imagine, like, you know, this spreading into other parts? Because I think that's how God makes change. You know what I mean? I don't think we live in a world that everything changes in a big splash, and it's, you know, we're going to start a nonprofit and create a vision of hope and blah, you know, and instead going, nah, we're just going to make pies and have people come over to our house. I mean, it makes so much sense. And then people aren't scared. They're not having to join. There's nothing they're joining. It's not some, you know, weird group of people going to sell them Amway or something.
None of that. No. It's just pure relationship building and networking. And what's also been amazing is that because I only make four pies every time. And then every time there's more and more people coming, I think, okay, Lord, you're going to have to provide more. And we've never, ever in all these months run out of pie. There's always been leftover, and someone would bring a pie, and I never ask anyone to bring anything.
Yeah.
And
people come bring
your pie. Yeah. Pie and cookies. And it's a really neat confirmation that this is what we're supposed to be doing, because we've never run out. And there's a constant circulation of different people, which is really neat. We have some of the same people that come every time because they love the fellowship, but it's neat to see different faces that we've not seen before, because the word is spreading.
Yeah.
So it's not really the pie.
That's part of it.
Yeah, depending on where you're at.
Get you in the door.
Yeah, but
people are kind of, they're stepping out. That's I bet the first time for a lot of people it was like, God, you know, we don't know these people, or you know, and we're gonna go, you know what I mean? So you're giving an avenue for people to get out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the pie is the lure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Relationship is like the whipped cream on top.
Definitely.
Exactly.
That's the goal.
Well said. Yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
So, when you wrote me, Paul, what you actually knew I was in the area, and you said, you should come by. We're having one on Sunday on the 25th or something like that. And I was like, man, if I was still there, that would be so funny to just show up.
You could.
You are always welcome. Yes. Man. Absolutely. Well,
what do you hope other people gain from this?
You know, that... starting simple and just to be able to, like you said, get out of their comfort zone a bit and know that it's okay to meet other people, and that really, if we want the world to change, it's gotta be little steps here and there, right? And it happens kind of in these smaller communities, I think, you know. So I really hope people take advantage of that to just get out there and maybe start their own slice of hope or their version of that, to make just a unity in the community. Unity in the community.
Wow, you just rhymed. A unity in the community.
Yeah.
I think you really are onto something, because like I said earlier when I introduced this whole thing, I was saying the research is showing that FaceTime on here, Zoom, all these things we've come up with that are wonderful for being able to do something like this, because I can't fly you here, you know, to Montana, although you would really like it, and do an interview. But to do this works for information, but for relationship, the studies are showing this is not doing it for people, and it's not intimate enough.
You know, and we live in an age kind of where people are divided in this country in many ways, and we just want to bridge that gap, and bring people together. It doesn't matter who you are or what you believe in. We are humans and we need to love each other, man. Really. And so.
Okay, go ahead, Janelle. You have something on your mind and you want to say it, just go for it.
Oh, I agree with him. Going back to your question about what do you want people to get from this, that I creating relationships is really where it all starts. And when, if you, whether are just wanting to build some friendships or in your work or in your community, it's just building relationships one at a time. And we thought, well, how are we going to do that? It's going to take too long. So we thought, well, how are people who've been stuck in COVID for 3 years, how are going to do that? People were scared, and we thought, well, we gotta open up our home and just say, come on in and let's welcome you and you can make friends. And so it's been neat to see people like meeting together and getting together who wouldn't have met each other otherwise because of Slice of Hope. Yeah. And the other thing about what I like about Slice of Hope is that when we walk around our neighborhood, we see people that we know and we can wave and say hi. And we invite people all the time to come on over, even if they live across town now. And I feel safe because people know our faces, they know our kids, we know a lot of people, and it's like it makes the city even more small because we know more people, and it's been special. And so we just to me it doesn't really matter how many people come. The Lord's always going to provide the amount of pie that I need, that we need. But I just want the authentic relationships to be built, and those authentic ones last. And
because you're almost going retro, like doing what our grandparents used to do, great grandparents. Yeah. Remember when you had a family gathering, it was like there's always like the weird neighbors or somebody else that came with grand, I always remember that with my grandparents. And then these people come over and this little kid, you go, Mom, Dad, who was that? And they go, oh, it's one of grandma's neighbors. And now when we lived in Springfield, I was that guy. It was like my kids went one time, my children, the best question they could ever ask me is, do you have any normal friends? My answer was, gosh, I hope not. I'm not looking for normal. I'm looking for something like, something a little different. The other thing you were saying about the, with the pies and doing this, I really think that if everybody watching this, and hearing this would just say, okay, just in our neighborhood, and don't invite the people that make you comfortable, invite like you guys did, bring everybody and then see what happens with it. Because I think sometimes we get so stuck in our friendships. I noticed this when we moved places, people get so stuck in their friendship that, or family even, and it's like, well, family, they worship family. And, I love my family too, but if you're not bringing other people in, I bet you in 10 years, they'll be, your kids are going to do, you will see this come out of them. You know what I mean? Whether it's in what they do for a living, how they live their lives, whatever, they're going to be more open. My kids are so open to strangers and strange people. I mean, they find friends that are interesting, not friends that fit them. Right. And I think that's, I feel like that's what God kind of wants from us as human beings, is to go. And I love when you said, I think the pandemic shut us down again, really, really divided people. And yeah. It's like, how do you put that back together? It's one piece of pie at a time,
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. The slogan that he came up with to put on the sign was uniting the neighborhood with one slice of pie at a time.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, I love what you're doing. And do you guys have any, you don't even have a website or anything. I mean, a Facebook page or anything like that.
No.
That's what makes this so good. It's like, I love this because that is the epitome of organic,
Yeah.
I mean, you get felt markers, you make a sign.
Yes. Another thing, Rick, I don't know if you noticed this, a lot of the more modern, say, neighborhoods, a lot of the houses, you have a garage up front, you have a little inlet of a front door, and everybody spends time in the backyard.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No.
I love it. I want people to be up front and to be able to strike up conversations with the people walking their dogs that go by. And we've stepped away from that. And that's another reason why I enjoy our Slice of Hope, to be able to bring those people in that we do see on the sidewalks and that drive by or whatnot. So I want hopefully to motivate people to come out of that shell into your front yard and create relationships like that.
Yeah, we have kind of created that. Remember that grandma always had a front porch. You had, or a big glass window, a huge picture window in the front where you lived your life out in the front yard, watching the neighbors go by and that stuff. And now we've created a world where everybody stays at. My wife and I are always like, I'm so surprised. Did anybody live? I mean, even the town we're in right now, we kind of drive around sometimes, go, where is everybody?
Yeah.
I mean, because we're active and we're always out, but people, we can go months without seeing our neighbors or people around us. And it's like, I don't think that's the way you live in a culture. You know what I mean? I think because then what we do, and you get too locked into your secure, easy friendships, and you don't ever try to get out of those and find people. So, you know, you wonder why people are so bored. It's like, well, because you're doing the same thing, hanging around the same people. What if you just went out and sat in your front yard on a lawn chair? And
that's this, what he does.
This is Paul. Paul, you and I would be like best friends. We'd be like, and we'd be the weirdest guys in the neighborhood that would go, oh, don't walk by Paul and Rick's their house. They're going to get in a conversation with you. They'll be talking to you about the grocery store, you know. But I think that it takes all kinds of people do, you know, I think we want relationship. We just don't. One, we're so busy, we don't want to work at it. And I think we have to. And I think, you know, you say, yeah, we clean the house, we make these pies. There's a lot of work that goes into that. But it's worth it because you're seeing fruit and you're seeing people kind of move and change. And you're not trying to get them to go to your church. You're just trying to get them to come to your house. I mean, that's the funny thing. They're not in, no. You know, no, and I think everybody always, and I think we're so afraid of motivation too, you know? And it's like, all we want to do is meet you and become friends with you and stuff. And think if that took off, I think you could really change your towns. And I don't think it's just for little towns. It's easier probably. But I mean, you got so many neighborhoods, West Salem, you got East Salem, you got little neighborhoods, you know, just one street. Remember people used to have block parties too. You had they shut down the street and you had a block party. So I think that should be your summer thing. You should do your slice of hope. And then for summer, like have your big shebang and block off the street and do something besides pie, but you could just have fun. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. We did a potluck the first year at the end of May. We did a big potluck and that was the largest group of people we've had was the potluck at the end of the year in May. So that's a fun thing we do.
Yeah.
But one other thing I wanted to say back to what you were saying was what I've also appreciated about having such a different mix of people and different backgrounds coming to my house is that I grew up a very certain way in the church, and I didn't I really branch out very much from that. I guess you could say like the Christian bubble. A lot of people are in their own bubble, whatever that bubble is.
Right.
And so when you come together and your bubbles join together in one place, like you get to appreciate other people's beliefs. You get to know their family, their kids, how they think differently, and it's okay that they think differently than you. And I think talking about showing our kids things, I think that's important because people come to our house that we wouldn't normally get hang out with except on Slice of Hope. And now we're becoming friends and we have that in common now that we're friends. Yeah, we do different things and we walk different ways, but we have hope in common. We have relationships in common. And from there, our hope is that they would be willing to bump into other people and with different walks of life, just being that example of, you don't have to stay in your same, you know, little bubble, like get to know people. Otherwise, I mean, life's gonna be boring if you're just around the same kind of people all the time.
I totally agree with you. And it's funny, like, you know, God kind of opens doors to stuff, but, and I never thought of this or planned it, but like probably most of my best friends are former felons and people and drug addicted people. And you know what? You know what it is why I love them so much is because they're so real. You know what I mean? They don't have anything to hide. So I worked in television and everybody was like, everything was fake. And they go, oh, Rick Dancer. Well, they liked it as long as I was the Rick Dancer they wanted me to be. But when they started finding out who I really am, you know, because I was being real. And it's like, and my friends who have had harder lives like that, they were more alike than I am with the people that think they're like me. You know what I mean? And then it opens you up and you start, you know, people that have hard lives and things don't always work out right, they'll just do anything for you. I mean, and their love. I did a story on this guy one time and his name is Billy. And he was like really poor and he'd been in jail. And my story was that he had met, because I heard about him. He worked at this church and I heard about him. And he had met this couple and it was snowing and they had nothing. And so he says, well, let me go home. I got some sleeping bags I can bring down for you and I'll bring you some food. So he went home and got sleeping bags, which are expensive, and food and all this stuff. And then I said, so I'm talking to him and I said, so you just gave that to him? And he goes, well, yeah. And I said, why? He goes, because they needed it. And I said, but see, I said, are you a man of little means? He goes, I usually have to get food stamps every month. And sometimes I don't have food. And I said, but you gave food and sleeping bags to people in need and you need it. He says, but not as bad as they did. And I said, well, how come I know a lot of really wealthy people and they don't do anything like that? And he says, because I know what it feels like to be them. And it's just, you know, that's what you're doing. I mean, it's the same kind of thing as you're providing a place for people to get to know one another. And then all of a sudden, you know, when somebody different shows up, you start going, well, you know what, so-and-so needs help. And I don't care if they're LGBTQ, gay, lesbian, felon, you know, a former news anchor. That's the last person you want in your house, honestly. But that shows you guys are very open-minded. But, you know, all these different things that we say who we don't want. And I think that's, I kind of sometimes think, Paul and Janelle, that God's up there and he goes, oh, okay, Rick was open to that one. Now, let's see. I've got this person. I know he'll do it. Oh, watch what this is going to happen. And in comes this person. And I'm like, oh, okay, here's the next person. And you guys are doing the same thing. And if we all played that, I think he's putting him in our lives to expand us and grow us and make us to be more like him, because he loves everybody.
Yeah.
And so if you know, I think what you're doing is absolutely magic.
Thank you.
It's just, and it's a way out of the dark time. The pandemic destroyed us as a culture. I mean, it really hurt us. And, you know, I mean, I still have some PTSD from all that. You know, I mean, I'm just, it's like, it just bugs the heck out of me. And I think
it was rough.
Pardon me?
It was rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rough.
And I think it was hard on our families and our lives and our friendships. I lost so many friends from that. And here's a way to restore, you know, with a piece of pie and a warm heart and an open door.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. And, you know, so well, I wasn't expecting this. This is awesome. Well, you guys,
it's a really big blessing.
I thank you so much for coming on. And well, first, Paul, for you did what you do naturally and you invited a stranger to come to your house. And so I couldn't make it. So we had to do this kind of thing. And you do, just for the record, you owe me pie. I did this and I'm not getting any pie here, but thank you for coming on and talking about this to people, because my hope is that this will spread and other people, you know, maybe they can do a cinnamon roll thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the food is.
Yeah.
You know, we're human and what we need is relationship, and food is just an excuse. I mean, yeah, it's going to draw me if you do a chocolate brownie thing, I'm probably going to be there.
Well noted.
Yeah.
So any last comments you want to make, go for it.
Oh gosh, you know, just kind of reiterate, we just want to be able to extend love and friendship to as many people as possible, whether it's in our neighborhood or whether you come from another town. And we just hope that it's an inspiration for other people in other neighborhoods to kind of do the same thing. So please get out and reach out. and love on others, no matter who they are, what they do, and just have fun with it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for taking your time. I appreciate you both.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Right. See you guys later.
Okay.
Yeah, bye. Bye.
All right. So let me wrap this little thing up here. Did you see that? That was magic. That's how magic happens. So it starts with a little idea and you have the guts to go with it. And then, yes, it's going to take some of your time. And yes, you have to work at this. And yes, some people might show up and you have to deal with it. But that's kind of how life works. And so if we want to kind of go back in time a little bit and restore some of that, FaceTime is not going to use it. FaceTime is the only thing that's going to change this. And you got to get, you kind of have to get down and dirty with people and meet them where they're at. Because you know what? I don't want you to come meet me and say, I want to meet Rick so I can say I'm going to change him. I don't, that's not how I want it. I met this guy the other day. I met him at the gym. His name's Matt. He's a super cool guy. Saw him at the grocery store. I was getting a sandwich and he's getting a sandwich. And when he talks to you, he just lights up in real life, you know, just lights up his face. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I said, hey, you want to stay here and have lunch? And he went, yeah. So we sat there for a half an hour. I got in my car and the rest of the day I was in a better mood because I'd had FaceTime. I touched him. We shook hands. I hugged him when we left. I need that. And I think you do too. So a slice of hope is just another way to do it. If you make good cinnamon rolls, do that. And don't make a Facebook page about it. Don't make a promotion out of it. Don't make it a nonprofit. Don't go looking for corporate donors to pay for the stupid pie. You know, a long time ago, I went to a meeting and they said, you have to come up with something as a Christmas gift. Okay. So I for the community, and it was in Eugene. And I said, okay, here's the free lunch program. And they said, what's the free lunch program? I said, well, if you think you don't like people who are gay, invite a gay person to lunch. If you think you don't like a lesbian, invite a lesbian to lunch. If you think you don't like Jewish people, invite a Jew to lunch. If you don't like Christians, invite a Christian to lunch. If you think you don't like homeless people, invite a homeless person to lunch. If you think you don't like felons, invite a felon to lunch. If you think you don't like Republicans, invite a Republican to lunch. If you think you don't like Democrats, invite a Democrat to lunch. And then you go and you shut your mouth and you listen. You listen to what their heart is saying. And then you pay the bill. There's no government subsidies. There's no legislature to give you the money to do it. You pay the bill. And that is the free lunch program. I dare you to start something like this in your own neighborhood. And if you do, would you please call me? Because I'd love to find out how it goes. And, what was the scariest thing and what was the best thing? I'm Rick Dancer. This is Get Real with Rick Dancer. Please share this on your page so that other people can see a way out of the dark time. There's a lot of dark forces trying to stop us from doing exactly this, having a relationship. And I, for one, refuse. I'm not going to play their game. A slice of hope. I hope you got one today. Good night.